From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein.
God bless America, land that I love.
On the National Mall in Washington, D.C., Broadway star Kelly O'Hara takes the stage in this evening's traditional patriotic extravaganza celebrating July 4th, underway right now. At the White House, they marked this Independence Day with a naturalization ceremony. President Obama welcomed 25 new American citizens, and as NPR's Hansi Lo Wong reports, they're all foreign-born members of the U.S. military.
15 countries were represented among the current and former military members, along with their spouses, who were sworn in as U.S. citizens.
What makes us American is not just circumstances of birth or the names in our family tree. It's that timeless belief that for many, we are one.
President Obama said the gathering serves as a reminder that America is a nation of immigrants and a country that he said needs to fix its immigration system.
We shouldn't be making it harder for the best and the brightest to come here and create jobs here and grow our economy here. We should be making it easier.
With talks stalled in Congress, Obama said this week he will take executive action to adjust immigration policy. Hansi Lo Wong, NPR News, Washington.
Civilian militias are issuing an action alert urging militia members from around the country to converge in Laredo, Texas, in response to the surge of Central American immigrants crossing into the U.S. illegally. The commander of the operation says he's creating a citizens' blockade to secure the border to protect American lives. He says militia members are armed and ready to defend themselves. In Jerusalem today, clashes between Israelis and Palestinians during a funeral for a Palestinian teenager found dead this week. Daniel Estrin reports.
There were at least a few thousand Palestinians who took part in the funeral of 16-year-old Mohammed Abu Khader in East Jerusalem. Some called for a new Palestinian uprising against Israel. Masked youth in the crowd threw stones and fired firecrackers at police, who responded with stun grenades. There were some injuries reported on both sides. It's been a tense week. Hundreds of Israelis marched through Jerusalem earlier this week, calling for revenge after the bodies of three kidnapped Israeli teens were found. And Palestinians accuse Israeli extremists of killing the Palestinian teenager out of revenge. And in the Gaza Strip, Israel said it carried out airstrikes after militants fired at least 14 rockets and mortars into Israel. Some landed in residential areas, but caused no injuries. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Estrin in Jerusalem.
Ukraine says 13 government soldiers were killed in fighting with pro-Russian rebels in the country's eastern provinces. Kiev also says its troops have retaken several villages that had been seized by the separatists. This is NPR. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says he's going to continue to run for a third term, dismissing calls by his own political allies and the international community to step aside. Iraq's parliament is struggling to form a new unity government, and Maliki is accused of exacerbating the country's divisions. Human Rights Watch is warning of an increased risk for journalists in Iraq. From Baghdad, NPR's Alice Fordham reports new government rules are making things more restrictive for reporters.
The list of mandatory guidelines came into force as insurgents grabbed chunks of the country. They say media must praise heroic acts by the security forces and never interview insurgents. Human Rights Watch's Erin Evers says the rules are not legally binding.
I see them as more of a veiled threat. So journalists have received individual threats over email and text.
In times of war, Evers says there are legal measures a government can take to police the media.
The Iraqi government absolutely has a right and a responsibility to place limits on media outlets that broadcast hate speech or incite people to violence. But that's not what these guidelines are about.
Instead, she says they're about silencing criticism of a deeply troubled government. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Baghdad.
At the World Cup, home team Brazil beat Colombia 2-1 to advance to the semifinals. But when it faces Germany on Tuesday, it'll do it without its star striker, Neymar. The team's doctor says he has a fractured vertebrae after he was kneed in the lower back by a Colombian player late in today's game. The doctor says it's not serious, but he needs surgery. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.